We are now live.
All right. Am I off mute? Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay. All right. Welcome everyone to this special meeting of the Lane Transit District Board of Directors, Wednesday, July 22nd, 2020. 29th, sorry. I am filling in because we're hoping Carl will join us, but he isn't on yet. I will provide no comments from the board president since I'm not the board president, but any comments from the general manager?
I have
Carl
none.
Is with
Thank
us
you.
Now.
Oh, great. Carl, I hereby hand you the Hi. Gavel.
Thank you very much, Josh. Sorry about that. And thank you. I appreciate you very much for getting things started. Did we make it through roll call?
No, I was just about to.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, we'll do that really quickly then. Thanks. Thanks again, Josh. Kate Reed is not able to join us today. So we'll do Josh Scovis here. Don Norden.
Can I take
I see him. So I'll say here for Don. Caitlin Vargas.
Present.
And Stephen Yet. I saw him.
We had Stephen, but he seems to have disappeared.
I thought I saw him. Yeah, that's okay. Maybe he'll come back very soon. And I don't see Emily. I think everyone else, she's not there either. So, actually, and I have no comments today either, except for people should stay as cool as possible in this heat. Any comments from you, AJ, as general manager? Great, thank you very much. And any announcements or additions to the agenda? If there isn't, Josh, do you have something?
No, I mean, I'm gonna talk about the email that I sent to the board, but mm-hmm. I think it fits under the ridership stuff, so I was gonna
wait. Okay, that's cool. We'll go ahead and work it in that way. I wanted to just kind of do an informal poll of the board to see if, there would be some willingness to discuss whether we should space these meetings out for maybe every 2 weeks, so twice a month, with the board. So So having a special meeting and a regular board meeting, resulting in twice a month meeting, because I'm feeling from at least my perspective that while there was, we're not that this is something that we've necessarily gotten used to, but I think an every 2 week approach might be good enough for our still continuing existing pandemic emergency. Don, I saw your hand up.
Carl, I can't hear you. I don't know whether it's my machine or yours, but.
Oh, is anyone else having trouble hearing me?
No, I can hear you just fine.
Oh, well, okay. Don, just to repeat, whether people wanted to continue meeting, I'll simplify it. Whether should we keep meeting once a week or should we meet every 2 weeks? But we don't decide that now. I just wanted, if there's no interest in discussing it, then I won't put it on the future agenda. It's not to discuss today, just kind of a straw poll to see where we're at.
Yeah, Carl, I would just say, I'll just say right now, I think meeting, once a month with our official, full board meeting and then one other time per month would be fine. And we just need to keep tabs on pandemic related issues, which was sort of the rationale for having much of these meetings, but I would certainly be fine with that.
It'd be cool. Well, and then all I'm proposing is just that we're have as an item of discussion at a future meeting.
Yeah, sure.
Great. Yeah. Any other comments? Should I go ahead and put it on the agenda for next time? See, Caitlin is nodding, which doesn't show up on audio. Anybody else?
Yes.
No.
Go for it.
Don, sounds good?
Yeah, just so you don't put it on the same meeting that I have with Lane Act, which has been the case for the last few months.
Okay. Well, and when we bring it up, we can talk about whether it needs to be on the same day or not. I mean, the whole, all possibilities, I think, are good. Stephen, just to check in with you, any opinions on this matter?
Stephen texted me and said he has audio issues, but he will try to resolve them shortly.
Okay. Well, this is just, so it sounds like we have enough people to say that we'll go ahead and throw that on the agenda for next time. So
great. Sure.
Well, thank you. Thank you for tolerating that from me there. And I think we go straight to the ridership and operations update with Tom. Tom, please go ahead. Thank you.
I will do that.
One second here as I, sorry, it was up and then, oh, here it is. Hold on, sorry. Having a hard time here. There we go.
Hey, Carl. Carl.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Steven texts me and he can hear us. He just can't talk to us. He's having some audio issues.
Oh, okay. Got it, Steven. Thank you for letting us know. And if you need to say something, maybe you can use one of us to say that for you. It sounds like you're in text contact with Josh.
Okay, are we ready?
I think so. Go for it.
All right. So this is data through yesterday. So very similar patterns to what we've been seeing in the past. Actually, this upper left-hand corner really gives you a sense of the stability of our ridership. Of course, the down, you know, anything you see going down reflects Saturday and Sunday service. But otherwise, things are pretty stable. Our ridership is pretty stable. Again, I had thought there might be some reduction related to it being summertime, but seems fairly stable for most of the month of July. Again, the blue bars are the Sunday level of service, and I think that has also stabilized. You might recall a few weeks ago when we actually it was a month ago when we had started this, Sunday service was a bit lower, but it's grown and kind of, like I said, stabilized at this time. And then boardings after 8:30, again, looking at essential trip making, relatively stable over the course of the period that we're looking at here. And again, good Sunday ridership, boardings after 8:30. Overloads, again, it's hard to discern a different pattern for the most recent week. Very similar in terms of the routes that are experiencing overloads, 40-foot bus overloads. The 13 is take a look at the 66, 67 are the primary routes that are affected with these overloads. Again, we're talking about on a daily basis, you know, we've got 12 here. What was that last? Was that last Thursday? And you can see it's up and down over the whole period that we're looking at here. And that's related to, it all depends on when different people have different needs and it, they come together and some days we'll see overloads on certain trips, other days we won't. But otherwise, pretty stable in terms of our overloads. If anything, there's, you know, you look this set of two weeks, it's slightly less than what we saw the couple weeks before. So that may be related to trips being more spaced out, but we're also managing trips and have added a trip in particular to the 66-67 to help manage overloads on those. With respect to 60-foot buses, you can see the patterns here are fairly similar. In fact, this last 2 weeks here have fewer, slightly, but fewer overloads than the previous 2 weeks. That might be a summertime effect. I don't know. But again, very similar in terms of MX being the predominant source of overloads this last week. And the 11 had looks like one trip a couple days, and then the 51 had a couple trips on on the 22nd. So again, not too different from what we've been seeing, maybe a little less. I've shown these maps before, but just want to have you, you know, keep these things in mind. This is something that we did back in June for overloads, and you can see the distribution, and of course the darker orange slash red, the more average daily overloads we see for a given week, but the locations are pretty stable in terms of where the overloads are occurring. And then this graphic shows you just a couple weeks ago, and again, similar patterns of overloads, but you'll notice fewer than we saw in June. And then a couple new ones on Main Street. I think I pointed that out last week. So those are things to just keep in mind in terms of the patterns of overloads and kind of how things might change over time. This is a graphic you should be used to seeing by now. This current week is shown here in terms of, again, the pattern is very, very similar, probably reflects that if there's a fairly stable base of ridership that we're seeing now, that tends to use it every day, and this is weekday, and then but you can see on the bar chart that ridership has been trending up, like I've been saying. Ride source volumes, similar patterns. You know, if you look closely, this last week was slightly more call volume, but not too different. And then here's the ride source trips. Again, very similar patterns through the 21st. So that's what we have. I think I showed this last time. And I'd take any questions you might have.
Thank you, Tom. Questions from the board or comments? Don, I see you have your mic. Josh, you have your hand up. Please go ahead.
All right. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, Tom. As always, super helpful. I want to just draw attention to some information that I dug up and sent to the full board of directors. Not everybody, not all of the attendees here will have gotten that email. So I just wanted to emphasize something about passenger loads. And we have to make new policy decisions in this new environment. And so we have made particular ones regarding like how we will define an overload. And we've set it at 20 for a 40-foot bus and 30 passengers for a 60-foot bus. You know, and I think just to remind everyone, it was a little lower earlier on. Just inspired by the pictures that I have sent to the board when I have taken the bus and there've been a bundle of people on there, maybe enough people that it didn't seem 100% safe from a public health perspective. I just wanted to sort of mention to the public and remind the board and get reactions if people have them and from, you know, staff as well. There are some agencies that are similar to us, but there were a lot more agencies that have much lower thresholds. So Chicago, instead of 20 people, it was 15. Denver was 15 as well. King County Metro in Seattle was just 12 people on a 40-foot bus, and AC Transit in the the Bay Area, East Bay, was just 10 people. It tracks pretty similarly for the 60-foot buses. But I just wanted to bring that up and kind of nudge Carl and AJ for a future item where we hear from staff a really carefully spelled out decision on our rationale for our current limit. I think heading into fall, when we plan on boosting service hours and having a lot of people, with students back, K through 12 and middle and high school, and then also U of O, it would be great for us to be ready with really clear policy rationale. So, and public health rationale. So let me leave it at that and see if people have reactions.
You know, actually, I wonder if there could be some response. Oh, Don, did you have a comment before I kick it to staff?
Well, I was seeing some program on the COVID response in various communities, and a lot of it is tied to what is active there. So I wouldn't say that Seattle and San Francisco and Chicago are all comparable if we look at what's active in our community. Now, Lane County has been going up a little bit, but it's still much less as a percentage of the population than Seattle or San Francisco. That was just a comment or a thought that went through as I was listening to Josh.
No, thanks, Don. I think it might be good to have staff comment on this because I think they probably had a rationale and probably have been monitoring the situation. AJ?
Yes, and I can let Mark talk a little bit about those details. He typically gives us a lot of the operational pieces of that. We actually have not handled this at the policy level. Most agencies are handling it at the operational level. Different agencies, different communities are making those decisions. As Josh stated, some of the large agencies that are much more complex and a lot more political and not have a lot of other challenges have made one set of decisions. Some of our peer agencies, more the size of our community and the size of our agency, are pretty comparable to LTD. Mark, maybe you can provide a little insight. I know that our HR, our ops team, and you have been supporting them through these operational challenges and really talking to peer agencies that are more comparable to LTD about kind of how we're handling it. So Mark's been really our COVID-19 lead through those operational issues with HR. Mark? I can answer it because I've been getting briefings, but it's normally your time. So Mark may be having technical difficulties. Okay. He's asking if I can hear him. It just texts me, nope, we cannot hear you. Okay, I can take it. Fortunately, we get regular updates. I just didn't want to speak. So what we do, no different than the board gets on a weekly basis. We meet weekly to get a briefing at all the management staff. And what we do is each respective area brings back information about the discussions that are happening actually out in the field. We use the same charts that you see here. The difference is what we're doing is we're gathering that information more for an operational to bring back information that HR and operations are getting directly from either our labor partners, ATU, or bus operators who are coming to the window and voicing the challenges they're having. So we've been really focusing on making sure that we're addressing what's happening in our community as compared to the ridership data, but also that we're staying in line with what agencies of our size are doing. So we're pretty consistent to that. And we also make sure that we weigh the burden we put on the operator for, I don't want to say the word policing, but maybe monitoring that, because they basically are not, we don't want them to kick people off the buses, but we definitely want, if they have a concern, to have some level of authority to maybe not stop at a location if they know that route and they feel that route, you know, that maybe people are going to get on and ride for multiple stops. Sometimes the operator, especially when they see people that are the regular customers that are paired together, they, you know, they allow people to ride because they know they're the same group. And then they know, as Tom has shown in the graphs, that some people that trip overload or around that capacity really only happens for a couple of stops. And Tom, you had been talking week after week about that trending that's those specific load factors getting to that point are only within a few stops. So we thought that based on the nature of our service design and what our peer agencies are doing and what our operation folks are doing, that we were operating within that. I also know that our HR department, our ops department also work with the health department and state agencies in getting advice. David Collier has been our lead and point of contact for that. So he's been reporting regularly anytime we hear a concern about that, and he goes and makes some phone calls. So those are things that we look at. Most recently, we've been talking about face masks, face shields, and ADA accommodations. So know that this is like a weekly meeting and we're addressing it. So we haven't yet taken it to the policy level to allow those decisions to be week by week dynamic, and allowing our bus operators to have a lot of input about what's happening out in their working conditions. Bill Bradley has really provided some good input. At our last Friday's meeting, he brought an issue about ADA accommodations, and staff jumped right on that. And, you know, I get a briefing as to where they're at, but I definitely want to make sure that our operators who are out there feel that we are supporting what they're doing out there. So that's kind of how we've handled it on the operational level. And we haven't brought this yet as to our level here.
Thanks for that explanation, AJ. If I could jump in, I'm kind of guessing when this was developed. I mean, I try to keep up too, and I haven't read any studies that state, you know, what is exactly safe. And I imagine there really can't be one. There's so many variables involved. And it sounds like I like the way you explained it. It sounds like there's just basically a lot of trade-offs. You're trying to protect operators, we're trying to protect passengers. Where I love the part that, you know, I hadn't even occurred to me, like operators can actually use their own judgment and see, like, yeah, if there are people that they recognize and know that actually are traveling together, that can actually help a lot in terms of efficiently loading the bus and such. And so, I mean, I think there's probably some practical limitations. I don't know if you agree with that or not, but that's kind of what I think I'm hearing from you.
Yes, and I will say that another factor, and Mark was texting since he can't, but I want to, is they also have to consider the risk management standpoint. So they directly also correlate the load limits to the level of COVID cases in the region. So that means if our COVID cases were rising, then we would know our risk factor is higher, and we would have to bring those levels down, because we feel that the risk is higher than the alternative. So we would change that up. So Mark, who's involved in these national meetings at that level, was saying that agencies, especially some of the agencies that Josh noted, those are agencies that are large agencies in which big metropolitan areas where there are a lot of COVID cases. So the exposure is much higher, and to be able to manage that, they have to manage that down to a smaller load factor. So it doesn't mean we might not have to do that at some point if our numbers change, but they are dynamic, and they are, as soon as we get information, we communicate with our health officials, and then we have to adapt and move quickly on that.
Thanks, AJ. Any other questions or comments? Yeah, go ahead, Josh.
That's great. Thank you very much, AJ. That's really helpful. Just a few clarifications, my questions. I mean, again, I'm not saying we're doing the right thing or the wrong thing. I just think it's important for us to have a little bit more public discussion about this. Actually, what you just said, AJ, over the last few minutes, is the first time we've had a lot of that information presented in a public setting, to my knowledge. And so, not the limits, but the rationale for the limits and some of that background. And so I think as we head into fall, we might want to figure out ways to make our rationale clear to people. I think that's what will be important. You couldn't fault someone for just thinking that we were kind of on our default setting from earlier in the spring. We did change it once, but we've been on the same one for a while. and I'm not suggesting that this has to be a policy level decision, but I do think there should be just that transparency at our level, and that we should just be able to share that with the public. All the stuff you gave is awesome to hear, but I do want to say something. I agree with Dawn about, you know, we should be assessing the risk, and you, you know, you kind of said this too, AJ, but we did just go through a period where we had rising cases, and we didn't even talk about changing our limits on buses. So I guess I'm hoping we can maybe build a habit of, and maybe you guys did at the staff level, but I'm saying at the board level, we didn't actually talk about it. Maybe we should have asked. I feel silly bringing it up now, but it was after, you know, sort of after the fact, I realized, oh my gosh, we haven't kind of reconsidered this. And we haven't had a crazy outbreak, but you know, as our daily, you know, like newly confirmed cases, was just rising pretty steadily for a little while. You know, we didn't know when that would stop. So all of that sounds great. I just think we should have, maybe we should bring this back somehow a little more regularly, so we can just be a little more transparent about it to the public. But thank you.
If I can answer, I respond to what Josh just said. You know, Josh, I think it's not wrong for this board, I think, to address these things. I think it's good for us to talk about this in public. And so I definitely support you there. I feel like, though, this is one of those things where, you know, we hired AJ, and AJ has the staff to make these kinds of decisions. While I agree, it is a very important kind of decision. None of us, we actually did have a medical doctor on our board for a brief period of time. But other than that, none of us really have that much expertise, in my opinion, at least, to be able to make, I think, something more directive. Now, that being said, I'll be very clear, it's not wrong for the board to be involved on this. But, you know, when it first came to our attention, I believe it was, it's a vague memory, but I remember there was just a whole bunch of a list of things we were doing to protect operators and the public. And any one of those things we could have had a longer discussion on, of course. But I guess I'm trying to express, you know, there, at some point there needs to be a trust that the staff is engaging in this in the weeds, so to speak, and that we as the board don't necessarily need to be working on that level. But that's just my response. And so,
good, Carl, I'm not trying to work at that level. I'm saying I think we need to have the rationale for whatever decision we're making really clear to the public. What I have brought forward over the last, you know, month or so is that I want us to be able to explain to people when transit is safe and why it is safe, if in fact it is safe. And I just think at this level of the occupancies, I mean, just there's so much heterogeneity out there. Maybe it is exactly for the reasons that you all suggest, but we haven't sort of described that to our public. And so I'm talking about transparency. I'm not playing epidemiologist. I'm just trying to make sure that we are being clear to the public about why we're doing what we're doing.
No, I hear you on that. And I think we both agree on this one, which is that if we are representatives and members of the public too, and if one or more of us don't understand or would like to understand better the rationale of some of the decisions that were made, then this is perfect. This is exactly what we should be letting the general manager know, and then she can do more work if we direct her to explain that better. And I think you're right, Josh. Yeah, I mean, at some point, especially if the data shows something different in terms of COVID infections, we, you know, even with the lacking of hard scientific study, which is probably really difficult at this particular time, it is good, I think, that the public understands the rationale and basis for why, if we were to nudge or move that limit one way or another. Yeah. Any other comments on this?
I do. I'm very mindful of the time, and definitely if maybe the board is wanting only two meetings, maybe the meetings are longer, because there's a lot that's happening. So like today's meeting, you know, there's a lot that happens, you know, like we're talking about face shields and ADA things that are very important, and we want to be very transparent and want to really share that with the board. But I know I'm seconds away from going over, so I always want to defer to the chair to not keep going and, you know, talking about things that the board may or may not have interest. So I will to you guys to tell me what you're interested in.
AJ, are you referring to an agenda item, or are you just saying you had more information to share on that?
Well, we always have a lot of information about COVID-19. COVID-19 is a very moment by moment or day by day case. As cases continue to rise, we look at the infectious levels. We look at the cases per 100,000. We look at the ADA operational issues. We look at the loading factors, passenger behavior, operator concerns. There's a lot of decisions that are continuously happening and evolving. And those are things that we're always open to discuss with the board, especially in a public setting in which it allows our community to know kind of all the factors going on. So I want to make sure that the board feels that the staff and I are here to provide you that level of detail, because there is a lot that happens every single week and decisions are made continuously to address them continuously. Like this week has been an extremely busy week, but again, now I want to be mindful that people scheduled only 30 minutes and have other commitments. So I want to just say, if there's more you want to hear today, there's a lot more that we can share, but we can share it a different way. But it just depends what the board wants to get some, can we turn that down a little bit? Wants to get some input on. I just want to make sure the board always knows that staff and I really want to continue to share. It's just, we want to be respectful of your time.
Yes. Thank you, AJ, for bringing me back, because I had such a good time talking with Josh and the rest of the board. I lost track of time. So thank you. I think unless there's any burning question, I think we're good. So I'm just going to take a quick survey or statement.
Well, yeah, I guess the only thing is that'd be great for an agenda item in the next, either the board meeting or the next special meeting, just to get a quick update of highlights. I'm not saying it has to be long, but if you guys want to highlight just a few things that you think are the most important, I mean, that we can have to tell to the community, I think that would be great.
Yeah, let's make this to be continued. So thank you, everybody. And sorry to go over a little bit. And I hope everyone stays safe, healthy, and cool in this weather. And we'll see you next week. Thanks a lot.